Seamless. Welcome, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Uh-oh. Can somebody put thumbs up if you hear me? You can't hear me? Oh, you can hear me. Okay. Everybody's a bit frozen. All right, well, let's hope for the best. Welcome, everyone. Can you one more time tell me if you can at least hear me okay? Yes, okay, thank you. I put my computer closer to the box, so it should be less glitchy than last time. I'm trying to get, I live a little bit out in the middle of nowhere, so we don't yet have 5G or whatever. And actually, I like it that we don't have 5G, but in this case, I don't like it. I'm sorry, but hopefully you can hear me. All right. So welcome. And when you're ready to settle, yeah, some of you are still with your thumbs up. You can close your eyes. Close your eyes and relax. And if you start to not hear me, let me know, but I think it should be fine. Maybe this is a sign that it's time to gather in person, even though most of you live on the other side of the freaking continent or world for that matter. Yes, so we are, our eyes are closed and we are together despite all these challenges. I think if I'm honest, I'm struggling to feel the togetherness when the computer is glitchy. So I need to make an extra sort of feel, turn up the volume in my heart extra, that we are together, that each one of you is here with me, that I am here with you. You all have a name, you all are somewhere, and you all have taken the time to come to be together. In the shrine. And maybe you also can feel that and do whatever it takes to feel that. Let my words help. And really feel the shrine an actual palpable place. You feel it with your bodies, that it's a place where you can step out of the turmoil of your day. And this place that you step into is bathed with an ancient silence. We don't have to manufacture the silence. It's a refuge. Just like a chapel or a temple that you visited, that you remember was or felt like a refuge. You might want to visualize yourself in such a place. We've shut the door to the shrine. And you don't have to take care of anything. There's nothing to do, not even any timekeeping to do for the time that we share here. So that relieves the mind a little bit. In the shrine, there's really not much we can do about our affairs. I mean, obviously, if you want, you can spend the hour thinking about things, but the idea would be exactly to not do that, but rather to give your mind, your thinking, a bit of a break. Whatever you didn't solve out there can wait. Everything can wait. Well, or rather, maybe we could say everything can benefit from a break in the shrine. Because it's not really like there's the shrine and the world out there separate, but it's more like there's the world and our lives and our human conditions and stories. And then coming to the shrine, it's more like we sink deeper, 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 deeper into the place the deeper place. I don't really have the words. It's a bit maybe like our lives, our human conditions, our stories. They're like the surface of the sea, the current, the waves, the ripples. And coming to the shrine, we dive down deeper, where stillness reigns and peace. And if that image doesn't work, you could stay at the surface with all the ripples and thoughts and feelings and sensations and stories, but visualize that there's so much space all around when you're in the shrine. You recognize and remember that. Suddenly, it's as if the lens has changed. And you're not so focused on your drama. It's there, but you're also widening the angle to taste and touch the vast space. All around. caressing the drama, the thoughts, the feelings, the person that you are. And so here we can rejoice in the knowledge that we don't understand much of anything that happens to us. And out there, outside the shrine, we do have a go at understanding, and we have different ways that we look at things and talk about things. But it is a relief to also come to this place, and just be. And just feel. And just follow our hearts. And to begin with, it takes a little courage, because there's a lot that needs to be felt, a lot of resistance, a lot of agitation. A lot of chaos in our human experience. And because we're not understanding it, we're not here to analyze anything. It's more at the level of the body. And we just say yes. To the body. The breath. The tension, wherever it may be in your case, but the tension in your flesh, in your body. Can we say yes? Meaning, can we allow the suffering of the body? allow but not need to do anything with it. Other than surrendering it in the moment. Surrendering every sensation. To the open space that surrounds everything. Surrendering is not abandoning. Surrendering is returning everything back to the place that takes care of everything. So if there is a big old tension or resistance or feeling that seems to not allow itself to be surrendered, give it a bit of time. Listen to it. It's not yet ready to be handed over. It hasn't finished. Surfacing fully. Let it come to life, because what doesn't want to be surrendered is usually something that's crystallized, that's immobilized. That's held as a sort of tactile me, the body feeling. It might be in the shoulders, it might be in the head area, it might be in the jaw, it might be in the belly. It's a feeling of me, and it doesn't move. It seems to be immobilized. And that's why surrendering, the word surrendering, doesn't work in that moment. So you have to go, in a way, you have to go to that place, that crystallized feeling. Literally go there. Go sit by its side. And you have to pick, because there might be a few. So you pick one and you just go and you sit. You sit next to the tension in your shoulders, for example. And you listen. Meaning, you become open and allowing towards that particular localization. You let it come back to life because it feels safe to do so. It feels safe to come back to life because you are sending the message to it. You don't have to work on my behalf, but I would like to work on your behalf, meaning I would like to welcome you and listen to you and guide you back into the current of life. And the current of life is really impossible to name or to objectify. But as soon as the resistance in the shoulders comes to life again, for example, could be something else. As soon as it returns to life, as soon as it starts to move, to have a texture, to have a movement, to have a temperature, to have a pulsation, it's on its way back into the flow. And at some point, you can send a message to your whole body, having done this, listening to the particular place that's suffering, and having allowed the sensation that was sort of dead to come back to life and discover that it was welcome. Then you can sort of tell the whole body, that it is welcome to be not only alive, but to be in life. To be not knowing, to be flowing. And if, since our eyes are closed and we're not looking in the mirror or at each other, and because we're not really referring to a memory or even a concept of the body, you can really take the risk of letting your body be completely free. The body of sensation, the body of tactility, of temperature, of texture, of weight. And even the body of emotion, if there are feelings. But if you don't refer to anything in particular, just a raw, the raw experience. And that's your body. And it's very, very alive. And it's very, very connected to the surrounding. Since your eyes are closed, you probably are not that clear if you consider only your experience, only your tactile experience. It's not that clear where the body ends and the space beyond it begins. It's not that clear. And nor should it be, because there isn't such a boundary. There is, of course, a sort of boundary, but certainly not the rigid boundary imposed by the belief in separation. And so why not enjoy that for a bit, or for not just a bit, for as long as we can and would like, feel. Possibility that there's an intimate connection with the earth under the body. It's not a hard floor, that's just a projection of the mind. See if you can surrender that projection. Feel that you're sitting on the back of a big friendly creature that has your back. Completely. And so you can completely surrender the weight into the back of this creature, this giant dragon, or I don't know, well. Don't just pay lip service to my words. Really go there. Feel it. Feel your pelvis. Your pelvis, whatever that is, whatever that means, feel it's just really sinking. And your thighs. And your knees and your calves. And your ankles and your feet. Soft, supportive. Body can just melt. And if it doesn't want to, that's interesting too. If there's, I don't know, whatever there is, you know, let it come to life. That's really the most important. No right, no wrong. Feel your spine, your torso. What's it like? Is it painful? Is there pain in the back body? And if so, is there a little movement that might help, a very gentle movement or realignment? But without forcing or imposing, just listening to the body. Hello, body, speak to me. Feel how the spine might like to be aligned. Each vertebrae softly stacked one on top of the other. And then feel your head and just tiny little movements with your head, with your shoulders, with your neck. Don't visualize your body, just feel. And then your whole spine again moving, just gently. And then it comes to stillness all by itself. And of course, the breath is the breath. Moving or? Not so much, just taste the breath exactly as it is. No judging, even though I've asked the question, if it isn't moving all that much, listen to that. Listen to the tension in the breath. Listen to the fear, the anxiety, the butterflies. Say they're welcome. Whisper, welcome, welcome. But then you can sort of suggest, you know what, breath? You don't have to live in a contracted body. You can just be like a wave. Inhaling, exhaling, it's like a wave. And you don't really know where the impulse comes from, but it's not pulling or pushing. It's more like the tides of the ocean under the mysterious spell of the moon. And if the body is complaining, just give it a bit of move. Really listen to the body. We're really trying to love the body. So not still the body, not rein the body in. And sometimes these meditations can be intense. So anytime it feels too much, I'm doing it right now. I'm just eyes closed, but just feel the body moving, be moved. And feel at the same time, I don't live in the body. The body is rippling in me. The body is moving in me. I'm sort of this borderless ocean, and the body is waving its rippling currents in me. Exploring movements like that. And then coming back to stillness. And every time the body comes back to stillness again, not imposing it, allowing the body to find its own comfort place. Its place of transparency, which won't be perfect because the body is carrying the echo of suffering, of separation. So we will not be free of pain or free of tension, but we can soften the edges, soften the demand. Feel your belly, is it soft or is it held? Very vulnerable part of the body. Maybe some of us don't even know our bellies or abdomen. Just see what you feel without any judgment. The movement of the breath. Can you allow the belly to swell with the in-breath without any holding of those muscles? You're completely relaxed with the in-breath. The belly button, you know, we were connected to the mother, our mothers, through the belly button. There was no effort to receive nourishment. There was no activity. It was just completely effortless. So the belly, it remembers something about that. Don't think about it though. Hello, belly. Feel the temperature inside the belly, the stomach. Maybe it connects with the sensation of the whole digestive tract. But you know, you don't have to focus your attention, just see what comes. It might bring you up to your mouth or to your throat, your esophagus. Whatever it brings you, wherever it brings you to, we just listen. And we indicate that there's plenty of space all around. And again, letting the body move. But again, it's more like letting the body be moved. Just place the body of sensations, into the big ocean and let it be moved. Trust the intelligence that moves the body. And let the whole body be moved, not just, you know, a little timid movement of the spine. Include the hips and the whole torso and the head and the neck. And the spine can round and sort of snake itself into, be snaked into various configurations. The spine is such a lively experience. And as you let this movement ripple, can you feel that the articulations of the body, the hips and the shoulders, for example, are very relaxed. That there's a lot of space, sort of warm, fluffy space in the articulations. Also the wrists, the elbows. Just feel. Because there's warm, fluffy space in the wrists, it means the hands can move independently from the lower arms, and the lower arms also can move. And there's warm, fluffy space in the shoulders, which means that the arms can almost sort of move away from the torso. And of course, don't feel you have to do any of this or manufacture any of this. Just see what happens. There's space in each articulations of the fingers. And there's space between each vertebrae. And there's lots of space everywhere. So that the space inside the body and the space outside the body are reuniting and sort of vibrating together. Don't forget the head, the neck, the face, breath. It's all one flow. We're sitting, but perhaps some of you have felt the need to stand up. But even if you're sitting, feel the legs sort of not static. They're also moving inside the earth. Yes, and then again, letting the body come back to a place of alignment and stillness. It's a dynamic stillness. The stillness of a tree or a plant, it's actually not never still, but still, let yourself be still. Vibrating stillness. Fall deeper and deeper in love with simply listening for no reason. Listen inside your mouth. Just tasting the sensation of your teeth, the pulsation of each tooth. Just take a little walk from tooth to tooth. Teeth are coming alive. Now feel your tongue. Wait for the tongue to come to life. Don't focus. Just feel the taste of your own tongue. Maybe the weight. Tip of your tongue. The movement there, it's very alert. See if you can travel with your tactile sense. Sort of all the length of the tongue to the root of the tongue, somewhere in the back of the throat. Don't worry, lightly, lightly. Feel inside the cheeks, inside the mouth. The gum, upper gum, lower gum, your whole mouth coming to life slowly. It never gets an opportunity like that. It gets very little opportunity to speak. We're not looking for anything. The mind will say, well, yeah, and what? What are we doing? And we're not doing anything, mind. Feel that your face is not a place that you live behind, at least not right now. And so you can really listen to it. So now moving maybe to your forehead area. See if you can go inside behind the forehead, inside. Listening inside your skull. Don't be afraid. There's no right or wrong. Maybe feel the left side inside your skull, the left brain hemisphere, as if you could listen to it. Don't worry. big sponge-like left brain hemisphere. Hello. Front, middle, and then deep inside your skull. Imagine that it can relax. The left brain hemisphere just relaxes like a big sponge, almost sort of resting on your left shoulder. And now the right side. You might feel a difference just because you've caressed the left side with a sense of interest. Feel your right brain hemisphere. Just go in there and feel the vibration. You might also be feeling your eyeball, very connected, the eyes and the brain. Remember, you don't live. Well, I've just told you to go inside the skull, but let whatever arises arise in a quality of openness. And feel now your, I think it's the right brain hemisphere relaxing. Big sponge. Dropping onto your shoulder. And your shoulders dropping into your hips. And your hips emptying into the earth. And the breath is helping. And you're saying to your body, I'm giving you a bath. I'm returning you to nature, to life, while you're in the shrine. You belong to life. You belong to creation. And again, the body may want to taste creation in the form of movement. I know mine does quite regularly. So again, let the dance. It's a dance that you don't choreograph. This time, really, maybe let it be a little bit fuller. Eyes are closed. Letting your hands, your arms maybe float away from your torso, the breath. Listen to your inner music and let the dance unfold with the inner music. Now that's very mysterious, and I really don't know what that means, but it could be the music of emotions. It's a very subtle music. Yes. And again, letting the stillness permeate the body again. Slowly let it happen. really allowing the body, when it comes back to stillness, to dissolve as much as it wants into the borderlessness. I don't live in the body. The body lives in me. At least when I come to the shrine and I take my stand as presence, and I give the body, my body, a chance to return home. No, don't do anything. Just whatever you, however you find yourself. Let that be your prayer. Just abiding. However you find yourself is the shape that God is taking right this moment. Thank you, everyone. We'll come back in at 5:30 and have a little break. So go gently. Thank you. Welcome back. Oops, hold on. Well, it's your turn now. Feel free to speak or ask or share. We've got half an hour together. Nice to see you all. Just if you want to speak, just
Oh, you want me to raise, you want me to raise my hand?
Yeah, raise your hand first. No, I'm kidding, Serge. Hi.
Hi, hello.
I was just going to say, you don't have to because it's such a small group.
Okay. I forget how to do that on Zoom anyways.
But... Forget, like, don't have to.
Forget it. You know, forget hands. I was thinking about the movement and how it feels like. Well, first, it feels like the body can actually just move on its own. But then I had the thought as I was doing this movement today, that sometimes my intention is to heal, but then that seems like a bit of a violent imposition almost on the body to do something for it to heal. That's what it felt like, at least. It felt like, you know, last week doing the twist, and we talked about how, like, pushing past your limit, like going into the stretch, that's kind of like, it gives a sense of that you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And the same way today, it felt like whenever I had that thought of like, oh, this, you know, my body moving this way will heal my left shoulder and it'll be better. It just felt like a lot. It felt like too much, even if the intention was good. I don't know if there's a question here, Ellen. It's just today it felt like telling my body to heal felt like an imposition on myself. Well, and like, yeah, that stretch. Yeah.
It's really for you to discriminate. I mean, you know, we are in such a sort of well-being culture where we do all sorts of things. So for end gaining, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, it's actually sane to want to do healing things for the body mind, but it's true that here we're even surrendering that agenda, because in this context, even that agenda is a sort of very, very subtle spiritual well-being, but nevertheless a subtle agenda with what is. Or it's a postponing, you, because you're thinking of how good that's going to be for your shoulder. You've stepped out of the not knowing. Just not. It's not bad, or it's not sinful. You know, you won't be. It's actually not a bad intuition sometimes to think, oh, if I move like this, actually, wow, this is. So you might, as in the context of this yoga, discover something, and you'll realize, you know, this is really actually helping my shoulder. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's true that then just to come right back to the moment by moment unfolding.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too sort of rigid about it, because as we're listening to the body, the body has a sort of intelligence, or not a sort of, a very incredible, I mean, it's life's intelligence that is expressed through the body. So, and then the mind sort of catches it, or it gets translated as a thought. So, and that's really beautiful, actually. So I think the most important thing, and it sounds like that's what you're doing, is to explore and to discriminate what's going on, you know, lightly, like, oh, I was maybe a little bit outside of the pure meditation. Because I was having a thought about my body and how this might heal my shoulder. But that's a very beautiful thing. So
My hunch is that it'll just do it anyways. The good healing will happen without me having to direct it.
Well, here, you know, if you went to see an acupuncturist or an osteopath, they would have techniques and they would be manipulating the body. Here, where the healing aspect of this approach is that it is surrendering any agenda and returning the body to its source, which is pure love or presence or borderlessness. So, obviously that is the ultimate healing, but it's just that healing may not look like what the mind thinks healing is, because the mind will say, well, healing, but then I'm still feeling quite a lot of tension. Sometimes during this yoga, we feel lots of pain and resistance, and that does not feel all that healing. It's because we are letting the body unravel and allowing these deep resistances to surface. And so that is by nature healing. The allowing is healing, and allowing are synonymous, but it might not look like the kind of healing that this, you know, that we might be after on some other occasion.
Thank you, Allah.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you know, after the fact, sometimes during the yoga, there's a lot of discomfort, and then later on, we notice a nice feeling or more relaxation, or the more we explore like we do here, the more it catches on, because it's the organic way, you know, it's the natural way. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarush.
Thank you.
Feel Ben is about to speak. I know you, Ben. Except you're frozen now.
You felt me wanting to speak.
It's been a while. Nice to see you again.
To see you, it's been a while.
Mm.
Yeah. I was actually wanting to speak, but I had nothing to say. So thanks for noticing that. Wonderful being here again.
Nice to see you, Ben, and Eyal.
Just coming back. It's interesting that last discussion about healing just came back from assisting in a somatic experience in course. So dealing with very similar practice with a very solid intention of healing. Yeah, just beautiful to see how it manifests in different contexts.
Yeah.
But in terms of what happens in the body mind, it's I guess the same. It's very similar.
You know what? What's funny, Ben, is that you're sort of sitting right in the center of a painting that has these two things, like sort of. Well, good luck with somatic experiencing.
Thank you. Yeah. And I really missed you and the space.
You're back.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, Harshit, hi.
I wanted to know if you are free for one-to-one conversation. Like,
oh, I know. I saw your email. I'm going to respond to you.
Okay. I wanted to ask that only.
I'll respond to you tomorrow, Harshit. It sounds like you have lots of questions that I won't be able to
answer. I talked to Rupert sir also. Okay. Twice. No, I have to say some things. And ask also, both.
You have things to share and you also have things to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I promise I'll write tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay. I've been busy. I promise.
Okay. Ma'am, hello.
Yes.
Let the Moon Be Free is very good book. Like, it is really good.
Yeah, I agree. Harshit is referring to a book called Let the Moon Be Free by a teacher called Eric Barre. Some of you know it. Anyway, it's a very nice book. You liked it, huh?
Yeah. A lot of things. There was an example of suicide and accident, how they both are natural. Like, suicide is not something that we choose to do, and accident is not something that happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good. Yeah, I will talk about all those things.
Okay, we'll talk.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Jane. Janet. I know that.
You know that. I've been having really bad asthma, and which is unusual for me. And I was having it this morning when I sat down. I couldn't breathe, and then the minute everybody started, I could feel. I just felt like I dropped into my body and stopped. And so the asthma stopped. It was, and I know this, I know that anxiety makes it worse. So it was, but it felt like, you know, it was just kind of almost instant. And I felt this time, you know, when you're talking about the shrine, you know, I love being in the shrine and I really feel the shrine, but today I felt like the shrine, the connection in the shrine with everyone here and the power of that connection in my body, you know, as opposed to just kind of an idea that then is, it feels like it's still in my body as an idea, but this was more tactile, you know, like a tactile sense of this shrine that exists here with all of us. Yeah.
Yay. So nice. Because it doesn't make sense, you know, like none of this makes sense really in a rational way. So it's great that you could feel it. And I think it is very palpable and very real.
I mean, I always feel it, but this today it was, I don't know why it was different. It was just, I think I needed a sense of group more. So I felt myself more kind of making contact with the field of people here, you know, which I usually am just kind of focusing inwardly, you know.
Yeah.
It was It felt really good. So as always, I just want to say thank you, Ellen, for doing this.
Well, and everybody, because it's a group.
Yeah.
I mean, look, like when we go quiet like that and everybody's right there, it's really nice and touching and human and yet mysterious.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Hilka.
I sometimes I feel even guilty, like having the access points in the body, like the body, like an access point to deeper beingness, like Janet said, the tactile sense. And especially when we are exploring the belly or pelvis, like today, the pelvis, it was just like something was waiting there to like expand and the warmth, and was like the shift of energy field, like the space is awake, really, and holding this body, like how it's so mysterious, like you said.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna keep
well. I hear you. Yeah, the body portal. Yes. Yeah, it's a good word, portal. And don't go too quickly, Hilka, because we have time, and I think you're trying to speak about something that's quite difficult to speak about.
Yeah, it's really touching, and the aspect of the mother and the belly button, and that part of my body which has been numb and like a cold, and now when it's finding its true nature really through those areas, and it's at the same time it's healing, but it's like a natural through that welcoming.
Yeah, and we only have such a short time doing these explorations, but you know, we each, if it's safe, sometimes alone it's too hard, but sometimes it's okay, and you can go into the belly or the pelvis, and you know, sometimes there's nothing going on there, it's so cut off, it's so quiet, it's numb, and then the mind tries to, and it's all good, like that too, you know, that too, and then suddenly sometimes something happens and then the mind gets all excited too and starts
excited.
So yeah. It's just the whole gonna be thing, this. You know? And I think it's little by little we develop we become acquainted with listening to the body, and then it becomes a little bit more natural and a little bit less exotic or horrible because nothing happened, and it just becomes more, but we have to start somewhere. Listening in belly, into the brain, into the tongue, all, you know, in the mouth, those are very, very intense places, mysterious, full of energy, full of emotion, full of images, full. And of of course, we're not looking for anything, but we are. There's something there. It's a loving relationship. So in a loving relationship, you are interested. You are curious. It's an alchemy. You are listening. So you can welcome the images and these moments of expansion, but also the less easy moments. Those are really interesting.
Yes.
Because they can carry really memories. Sorry, go ahead.
They're these have stabilized the stillness, the unmoving so much, these gatherings, that now it's much more easier to feel the difficult, the stability of the unmoving is, that has come that ease to feel and thank you.
Body. Yes. Thank you, Hilka. So mysterious, isn't it? Like, even when we speak like this, our words fail and we don't quite say what we really... I'm growing to enjoy that experience of words completely failing. Not completely, but failing. And that's perfect. Not to say that your words were failing, Hilka, but you know, I hope you know what I mean. Is there anybody, Ina, are you new? Is this your first time, Ina? Aina? Ina?
Ina.
Ina.
I was here once or twice before.
Yes. Okay. Nice to see you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I don't think anybody else is new, but I can tell. Oh, maybe Claire. No, Claire, you've been before. It's your first time?
Okay. I just heard your interview on the podcast Sand and found your website and...
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. All right, everyone. Helen Beal, I think I've recognized you. It's not your first time, right? I don't know if Helen is hearing me. Anyway.
Yeah, got you. Oh. I've been, I think, once or twice before.
Yeah, I do recognize you. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Doris, too, I'm sure I've seen you before, even though not often, but...
Many years ago.
Yeah.
But not with this current work you're doing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize I was something different. Anyway, well, thank you, everyone, for being here together and... there'll be another meeting next Tuesday. And also I do a morning meditation for those who are on this side of the world, which is silent on Wednesday mornings, silent with some pranayama, some breath exercise. And everybody's welcome to that too, of course. All right. Goodbye, everyone. You can unmute and say bye. Thank you very much for the quality.
Bye.
Today.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you next week. Have a good week. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Take care.
Bye.
See you soon.
See you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Vivian, you didn't turn your camera on. Okay. Bye-bye, guys.